But before we do that, I wanted to walk through Psalm 132. And what I'll do is read the stanzas as we go through. And I'll just offer some comments along the way. I was struck when I read this psalm a little while ago about how it shows this desire for true worship and how we see that in the king and also in God desiring to bring that about. And so what I do want us to see is that this psalm shows us that God desires to bring about true worship and blessing through his people, and that he faithfully does this in Jesus Christ. So let me read verses 1 through 5. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. So here we see the Psalms speak about King David, who desires a place for the Lord to be worshipped and honored. He swears that he will not rest until this happens, even if it means hardship and suffering. He's a king who longs to be near God. He longs to be in the place where God's people can worship him. And the amazing thing about this is, if you think about it, is that the Lord raised up David to do this. He put this in David's heart by his grace. 1 Samuel 13:14 says, the Lord tells Saul that he will search out a man after his own heart, after Saul doesn't walk in his ways. Well, the Lord has done this in David, and now we see this desire playing itself out in David. I'll keep reading here in verse 6. Behold, we heard of it, that is, the Ark of the Covenant, in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jair. And you will remember that the people of God would use the Ark of the Covenant as some type of a talisman, as this emblem to bring victory in battle, and that's not what God wanted. The Ark of the Covenant was his footstool on earth. So we heard of the Ark of the Covenant in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jair. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. So here we see this call for the ark to go to its resting place. And the call was heard. This is the call that we hear when the oath was fulfilled, when the temple was built. This hope to go and worship God at his footstool, at his dwelling place, God who dwells in heaven. And this is a cause of great joy. The saints shout for great joy. It's a great joy for God's people to come into his presence and worship him. Now, we may remember that this didn't happen for David. It was his son, Solomon, who built the temple. And the petition in verse 10 is that God would never take his face away from his anointed. It's a petition for his continued favor to his king through all generations. This is in line with what we see in verses 11 and 12. I'll read those. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body, I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. So here, the psalm turns to the Lord and this oath that he has sworn to David, right? It shows the Lord's resolve for his purpose, for this king after his own heart. for this king who loved him more than life and who longed to find a resting place for God with his people. And if you remember in 2 Samuel 7, the Davidic covenant, this is exactly what the Lord says. He said, I will make an everlasting covenant. There will always be a king sitting on this throne. But if your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies. That's what we see here in verse 12. And did they do that? No. If you read from 1 Kings through all the way through 2 Kings, through the Old Testament, we see that they didn't do this. They didn't do this. Not until the anointed one comes. Jesus, the greater son of David, who brought God's presence and kingdom in a decisive way by living a perfect life and giving himself so that his wayward people could come in. He lived a life of perfect covenant faithfulness to God, and he is our king. In verses 13 through 18, I'll read these and then I'll speak to them. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. So here we see that the Lord has chosen Zion, this holy city, this place that he has chosen for his blessing to shine forth from his people to all of the earth. And it's his choosing because he desires it. It's not because of our faithfulness. It's because he desires it. It's because of Christ's faithfulness. He has been behind all of the procession and the human desire in this psalm that has led to this. Through Zion, God blesses her, her priests, and her saints, all of her people. You can see it, there's petitions in verses 9 and 10 of this psalm, and they are directly fulfilled in verse 16 and 17 and 18. Asking for the priests to be clothed with righteousness, verse 16. Her priests will I clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. He gives us salvation from bondage to sin and death, and he is our everlasting king. Ultimately, as I've been saying, all of these prayers have been answered in Jesus, the priest who gives himself as a sacrifice to make us right with God, to give us a new heart and a new spirit so that we walk in his ways. The risen king who is in heaven right now, who is drawing people to submit to him and his perfect kingship. By his spirit, we all are part of Zion on earth. And he is using us to build his kingdom. He's blessing us every day. He rules and defends us from his enemies and our enemies. And he will one day come to judge the world in righteousness. It says here in verse 18, his enemies, that is David's son's enemies, I will clothe with shame. But on him, on David's son, on Jesus, his crown, David's crown, will shine forever. And we know that in heaven, all of the elders around the throne have crowns too, right? But we're all to worship the Lord. I hope in this psalm that we see the Lord's desire to bring about true worship. He places it in his people's hearts. He placed it in David's heart, and he brings it about through Jesus. It's easy to become cynical today, become worn down by the sin in our world. I recently heard that on a given Sunday, presently, only 15% of 18 to 30-year-olds in our country will be in any kind of a church. Now think about that. Think about the fraction of churches that are actually preaching the gospel. Only 15% of people in that age group are even going to a church on a Sunday. I know the church is experiencing rapid growth elsewhere, and that's something to, elsewhere in the world, and that's something to praise the Lord for and look at and pray for. But the state of things in our country, in the church here, truly discourages me because I see how it involves countless people who are my age who are knitting themselves to idols and not to the living God, the one who is the only person that can satisfy all of our desires. Furthermore, we're fighting our own battles with our sinful desires against worshiping God and serving Him. There's things at war in us every day against that. Well, this psalm reminds us of the Lord's resolve and His promise to continue to raise up true worshipers, to bring about worship in us. He's seeking them out. He's seeking us out. And He so desires that we worship Him that He makes it happen by His grace. He's faithful to His covenant. He will be faithful forever, and He will reign forever. We just need eyes to see what He's doing. So I hope that this is the case for all of us, the faithful Sunday night crowd, and for our church. May we be people that point our brothers and sisters to the faithfulness of God, to what He's already done in Christ, and what He will be faithful to bring about. I want to close by reading Isaiah 61, 10 and 11, which speak to what God has done in Christ and what He's going to bring about. I will greatly rejoice in my God. My soul shall exalt in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have clothed us in Your righteousness, that You are a God who's faithful to His promises. Lord, help us to see this righteousness sprout up in our lives by Your grace, and encourage us as we serve You, as we show forth Your righteousness, as we praise You in our daily lives. Lord, I pray this not just for us, but for Your church around the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.